Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Atlantic Bushcraft Adventures. Tonight we are on episode, what are we on? 247. And I want to chat a little bit about unorthodox camping. So a little bit of backstory here, and I was just kind of filling Ben in because we are kind of doing this one very much unrehearsed for us. Like, we didn't even really have our couple minutes conversation before the show. So this is going like straight off the cuff here. A little bit of backstory. Just the other day, I was going into one of the local coffee shops here. I was grabbing a coffee. I was on break from work. And I stumbled into a group of guys that I used to hang out with when I was like in my mid-teens, mid to late teens. And we were reminiscing over coffee, probably holding the coffee shop up. And we started talking about this time when we were younger that we would like go to old junkyards or anywhere we could really find that would have old scrap or anything really. And we'd make this game out of basically making shelter, you know what I mean? And we'd do this over the weekend, and I was just telling Ben before we started, this was back in the glory days of MapQuest, if folks can remember that. Like, MapQuest was the, well, to us anyway, was the original mapping software that you could kind of get grainy aerial photos. So we would, like, load this thing up in areas where we're like, oh, I wonder where this road goes, and we'd find these... If there was something back there that looked like it was laying around, you know what I mean? We were a bunch of country hicks on four-wheelers. We would buzz into these places and we would start this game. You know what I mean? And it got me thinking, is it considered camping? And, I mean, in the truest form of the definition, I would say no. But I think it does kind of fall under this unorthodox camping. You know what I mean? It's not your standard camping per se, but there's a lot of elements that carry over. And I'm sure you have similar experiences from your past as well, Ben.
Well, I'm sure I do. And in fact, I listened to a bit of yours, but we grew up in an old mining town. And so there was a lot of scrap laying around. So it wasn't uncommon for a lot of the young fellows to go into the woods, find some bigger rocks, put some of the scrap material up against it, and they had forts like that. But some people got quite elaborate. And there were some interesting things dragged into the woods to find a place to spend the night. So you'd often find more elaborate camps that were made completely from things they found laying around.
And that's kind of where we went too, you know what I mean? I'm trying to think. Ingenuity. There's a specific synonym for ingenuity, or I don't know, portal of ingenuity. Ingenious? Yeah. I don't want to say ingenious because I think that's giving us too much credit. But anyway, we really stretched our creative juices to make some of these shelters. And sometimes we stumbled into things. And one thing I was telling you right before we came on was one time we were lucky enough to be at a junkyard and I found an old fishing boat. It was kind of pitched on a side. It had a hole in the hull. But the sleeping quarters were still intact, you know what I mean? And, I mean, what more can you ask for? This thing was windproof, waterproof, had a bed in it already, with a sleeping mat. It was kind of pitched on its side, and as I was telling you, I had to kind of level it out to sleep in it. Even had an old wood stove. The pipe had been taken down, and it couldn't go up because of the, you know, the angle that the boat was laying over. Like I said, that's kind of how I got a couple of the scars across my knuckles. What not to do? Use an old knife to try and cut through, you know, metal. But these were the kind of things we did when we were younger. Just want to say hello to Nomad joining us as always. How's it going, Nomad? And Matt Wosley, thanks for the info on the MSR stove. I love it. Thanks. No worries, Matt. You got to give that thanks out to Ben. Ben's the big guy with the MSR stove there. I had one in my hand just last weekend and almost bought it, Ben, thinking of you too. But I'm like, you know what? There's two there. And after this episode, I'm going to pick your brain a little bit too. Similar price points.
I've seen quite a few too, like on Facebook the last little while. So they do sell used and they don't go down a ton. Like they're a good buy, but yeah, we'll chat about that for sure. Yeah, so the boat sounds pretty cool. I've known a few people who have fishing boats that sleep in them regularly, and I can imagine they'd make a pretty good shelter. In fact, a few years ago when we were spending a lot of time at the cabin on the lake, I wanted to buy a little sailboat just to leave offshore as both a swim platform and a second room, which I thought would have been really cool to have because you get a couple of bunks in there, some nice little kitchenettes. But it's surprising how cheap some of those go for sometimes. They're a few years old. They need a bit of work. They're maybe not sail worthy, but maybe they're float worthy.
And this is the thing. Excuse me. It was actually quite surprising what was found in junkyards, or what I consider junkyards. And folks, I guess by definition, junkyard is literally somebody's yard or extra property that they just stored their junk on. And I'm not suggesting anybody go out and do what we did as kids. Don't get me wrong. I'm acknowledging it was probably a different time and we probably weren't doing what we were supposed to. But now that I'm older and wiser, I can pass these stories along, chuckle about them a little bit, and hopefully keep some other people out of, you know, potentially trouble. Most of the people that we've done this to in the past, we have since told them that we have done this, we've made our peace and things like that, because honestly, small area, we all know each other anyway. Word got around and we really weren't hurting anything, so they really didn't care. More came down to they didn't want us hanging around a junkyard where we could potentially get hurt, you know what I mean? Because there is a lot of other old stuff there. But anyway, disclaimer aside, it's really surprising what you would find in junkyards. Like the fishing boat. I never dreamt we'd find this fishing boat just tucked in behind like a bunch of old Chevy trucks and stuff. You know what I mean? It wasn't a massive fishing boat, but it was your average size fishing boat. Another one of my buddies there, they found like a decrepit bus. And I don't mean like this bus was pulled in and looked like a bus. It was half rotted out, slammed on the ground. But the back section was still good enough that it was basically windproof, waterproof, and he made his shelter in there. So all he had was like the outer hull to work with, still had to build a sleeping area inside, still had to fashion some sort of door, and stuff like that. So, I mean, we still used a lot of the same elements you would when you were camping and potentially building primitive shelters for this little game we used to play. You know what I mean? And that's what got me thinking. What's your opinion, Ben? Would you consider this camping, or is this something else entirely?
Well, I heard someone say something one time that you make your shelter out of what you have too much of. And that was an interesting concept. So if you're in a spot where there's only rocks, like you have a plethora of rocks, your shelter is going to be built from rocks. If you're a place where there's a lot of trees, you're going to make your shelter out of trees. You're going to make your shelter out of what's available. And by that statement, you know, an old car or an old trailer or an old boat or even just old building material that's been left laying around or disposed of that you're able to repurpose as a shelter is a type of bushcrafting, because you're extending, you know, you're basically recycling, you're reusing stuff that's around. And it's interesting what you will find. Like anyone who spent any amount of time in the woods has come across stuff that they've literally sat there and said, how did that even end up here? You know what I mean?
Probably from crappy kids like us, to be honest with you. Drag it in, not drag it back out. But yeah, there's been some wicked stuff that I found like in the middle of what I assumed. Let me put it this way. I have walked in areas where I'm like, I bet you there hasn't been people here for 100 years. And then go 5 feet and find stuff that was made in the last 10 years. You know what I mean? Be like, how? How is this here? How did this even get out to this location? Was it airdropped in? Like, no. And I'm talking like random stuff. We're 20 kilometers from the nearest road and you find a couch. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, how? How does this happen?
Yeah, like, you look, I found stuff like that. And I've literally sat there and said, the effort it took to get this here is impressive. Like, there's no logical way it got here. Like, someone just dumped it off a car, because there is no car getting here. Like, somebody carried this physically for miles.
And that's the thing. Like, what would possess somebody to do that? Was it somebody like us just goofing off, or was there a bigger plan? So Nomad's got a comment down here that I think we can expand on a little bit. And on Orthodox Camping, he has a 40-foot converted bus that is completely off-grid. He spent 6 months at a time on public land. You'd be surprised how close to primitive camping you get. And this is the thing. Like, a lot of this stuff, I'm going to hear people, you know, snub their nose and say, well, that's not real camping. You're not in a tent, or you're not in a hammock, or you're not making, you know, you're not sleeping on the ground or whatever. But realize, even for this game, all we were doing was providing ourselves with ready-made shelters. You know what I mean? We were still bringing our own sleep systems much of the time. At least some sort of blanket. I mean, we did this during the summer, so you didn't need much of a sleep system. But we'd also bring our own stuff for cooking. We'd have a small campfire between us. That was the one rule we had, was everybody didn't make their own campfire. We shared one. Just because of the areas we were, there was 4 to 5 of us. We could easier watch it. I mean, we were kind of safe, even though we were, you know, foolish kids, for lack of a better explanation, but we were kind of smart about it, or at least I'd like to think so. And this is the thing, we used a ton of the skills that I still use today, except I didn't use a tent. You know what I mean? I slept in a fishing boat, or I slept, I used engine hoods once to make a shelter, and they make great shelters. Like, they're big, they're solid.
Yeah, we often made them out of, like, the corrugated steel. There was a shocking amount of that laying around where I grew up. And those things make really good shelters. And if you look at, I mean, I'm not picking on them, but you look at third world countries or the, you know, slums, that's what they built it out of. Tarps, corrugated material, cardboard boxes. They make it out of what they're able to get their hands on. So, I mean, but it's still a good skill. Learning to use a material that you find. It's just how elaborate can you get it? And I guess in a way, it's kind of like the Swiss Family Robinson. Remember that? They all ended up in the island. They started building tree houses and water wheels and all that stuff. And some of it was from garbage from the ship that they had been on. But other stuff was they made from the natural materials. But it's that ingenuity, like you said, using something for something. Maybe its original purpose wasn't really intended, or at least the location it was used wasn't the intent. Because in the boat instance, it was meant to be slept in, but usually when it was floating.
Yeah, on land.
Although I know people who do sleep on boats while they're on land, so.
I mean, if it's in dry dock and set up properly, I could see it, but funny thing. Tell me you're Canadian without saying you're Canadian. You said Swiss Family Robinson. I heard Little House on the Prairie. And I'm thinking, Little House on the Prairie? This don't make sense. What are you talking about? But yeah, no, I got you now. Swiss Family Robinson. Nomad makes a good point here, too. So many stories about what he's seen homeless people doing in cities and stuff like that. A lot of it is urban bushcrafting. And once again, not picking on the homeless. I feel for them. But once again, a lot of skills they use, they're using what they have on hand. So this brings me back to my question. Is what we were doing camping, or were we doing advanced homelessness? Like, I don't know what, you know, I don't know where to draw the line here. And I guess that side, and once again, not making fun of homeless, is homelessness just kind of the ultimate form of urban survival? Like, you know what I mean?
Well, it definitely is a type of survival. They're literally surviving it there. But there was an old joke one time, and it was something like, camping, the event where you spend thousands of dollars to live like you're homeless.
And I think we've said it before, the difference between camping and survival is necessity. I think that's much the same as potentially bushcrafting and homelessness. Bushcrafting is you can go home. You're not doing it out of necessity. You're doing it out of desire. As for homelessness, it's completely out of necessity. But this also brings a couple other questions in there. We've done episodes on this before. Necessity being the mother of invention. Like, you can see some really neat structures these folks make. Like, I know around the cities here, we're starting to have, like, the... I think the locals call them, like, tarp towns and stuff like that, or tent towns and things. But if you actually go by and appreciate how they have these things done, they literally look like little communities inside little communities. I know the city that I'm talking about, you know, Ben, there, Halifax, they've set up some old ball fields, and they're literally like opening them up for the homeless, because homelessness is becoming a larger problem with all the immigration and things like that. Unfortunately, we don't have the housing, the infrastructure's not in place. We're kind of putting the cart before the horse here. But in any case, that's another topic. Going back to what I was saying, if you go in and you look at how these things are laid out and built, like, it's actually pretty ingenious, some of the things they do. You know what I mean? Between using some tarps, a couple of tents, they string together almost little communities built inside these ball fields that have their own aisles and little divisions where, you know, they have their bartering systems. It's pretty cool. As unfortunate as it is, it's still very interesting. You know what I mean?
Oh, it's definitely interesting. Yeah. Well, I guess, where did you take it from there? Like, how long did you manage to get these to work? Because I knew some guys who built permanent, like, semi-permanent structures that were there for 20 plus years.
for a lot of ours, it was weekend warriors. I'm not going to lie. We would, once again, we'd hit MapQuest. We'd find these old roads, see if there was any junk laying around, say, ah, that's where we're going for the weekend. You know what I mean? And we'd all roll in and we'd just try and hang out for the weekend. Of course, there's probably some adult beverages involved and things like that. We had other alternative motives, but this was a reason to get out there and hang out. Or sometimes during hunting season, we'd be out and we'd find places just to set up to basically go hunting. You know what I mean? Mix a couple of our different passions together. And some of them, I mean, like the fishing boat, poor example, but I mean, that thing was there for years, but I mean, it was walk-in ready. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then the other things, like some of the stuff we built out of the engine hoods or some of the stuff that we built out of the old scrap machinery and things like that. I mean, until they came and removed them, they stood for a long time.
The other thing, I don't know how much it existed for you, but like I said, I grew up in a mining town. So the mines had pulled out when I was growing up, and a lot of the stuff they had left was just there. And so there were a few buildings that we were able to get into. There was an old dynamite shack that I know some guys had gotten into and stayed in. What else? There was some of the small sheds and stuff they would have had laying around, and possibly some machinery. Like there may have been the cabs of a few trucks and stuff laying around for sure that was utilized as such a thing. Also, some of the structures that were built weren't really changed, but they managed to build under them, or at least shelter under them.
Mm.
Similar to you see people in a city under a bridge because it's a natural break from the rain and the weather. We had a penstock, and people I know had set up things underneath of that in a couple of spots, which is a big pipe. It was cold, though. A lot of water running through it constantly. So in the summer, you could lay on it and be cool.
And we have done that, too. We've actually made small little forts or shelters or whatever you want to call them under bridges. You get those big steel beam bridges, you know, you got the I-beams running down. They're roughly something like 7.5 feet across, sometimes 8. You get yourself... we came from a place where everybody had chainsaws or sawmills, you know what I mean? To get a couple shunts, which is basically just the big square sticks that they saw into lumber after the fact. Like they just mill them into squares, getting rid of the outer bark and cleaning it up to where they can start sawing lumber. Well, to get some of those really wasn't that expensive. You throw those down across the I-beams, you got something that's sturdy enough to hold a couple people. You slap some plywood on top of that. You got a floor. Now basically all you do is crawl up into this thing. The bridge itself acts as the shelter, and away you go. And funny story, down home where I'm from, and I'm not going to mention it because people will probably find it pretty easy, there was an old bridge there, and we did one of these shelters, and we even had a fire pit and everything set up under that. Long story short, we did have the cops called on us once upon a time. And then they got in there and they actually got to see the extent of what we had done, and we had to completely dismantle it. They got called for smoke. They thought that somebody set the bridge on fire and all, it was just us having a little bonfire underneath. Funny enough, we weren't doing anything with the shelter. We were waiting for daylight to roll around so we could start fishing. So anyway, we're down there. We're having a couple of cups of tea or coffee or whatever the case may be. Had this fire, and the game wardens and come down under and they're taking a look and talking to us, and they happen to glance up and they're like, oh yeah, what do you boys got up there? And then we had to get into the big explanation of it, and as impressed as they seemed to be at the time, they were also very insistent that it all had to come down immediately. If you catch my drift, potential penalties involving if we did not immediately remove it from the premises.
You couldn't convince them that you guys didn't do it?
Oh, no, we fessed up to it immediately. Like, we were dumb kids, man. You know what I mean? We outright admitted to everything we did because we didn't know any better. You know what I mean? Like, there was no point in lying. We were kind of impressed with it, too. We thought they would be, they were impressed, but for all the wrong reasons.
I was given an advice one time by a lawyer. If you're near a cop and you hear your voice, you're talking too much.
Yeah. Yeah, you have the right to remain silent is the number one right that is waived way too often. You know what I mean? But
he said he couldn't count the number of times he defended somebody that had they simply not spoken, would not have had to be defended. Like,
And that's the thing. Most people incriminate themselves. And then once again, that's what we've done. You know what I mean? But I mean, I'm not going to lie. I was a bit of a smart ass when I was a kid. Sometimes I was very cynical and sarcastic, and that got me into trouble a couple times. And this might've been one of those times too. You know what I mean? I can't really remember if it was me or if it was one of my other buddies that might've, rubbed against the grain a little bit, but that was, I don't know. Once again, dumb kids, man. I know it's not an excuse, but that's my excuse. We were just foolish kids at the time. But anyway, getting back on topic here. So yeah, what do you folks out there think? Like, where do you draw the line between what is considered camping and what is it not camping? If that's not considered camping, then what would you folks consider it? Because to me, it's some sort of camping in my eyes. You know what I mean? We use the basics of what we had around us. Like Ben and I said, we built our shelters. We still had little campfires, like everything you would do with camping. The only thing we did was we used the materials around us to build shelters. And we really enjoyed using old junk and stuff like that because it was really fast to throw these shelters up. You weren't taking 6, 7, 8 hours to build a primitive shelter. You were throwing something together in like an hour, hour and a half. And it was pretty decent for what it was, as long as it didn't fall in on you. Like, we did have a couple instances where we built some things and maybe didn't, you know, structural engineering wasn't the high point off it. Looked really good, just wasn't that sturdy. And a good gust of wind usually would let you sort that out. But then as we got better at this, we learned how to reinforce things and stuff like that. And that was the ultimate goal of this game, quote unquote game, was we had to use what we found. We couldn't use any of our own stuff to support our shelters. And that, once again, kind of threw a little bit more of outside the box thinking in there. I can remember one time when Dave, he used some fish netting. You know what I mean? Found some fish netting and pop bottles and ended up making himself something to sleep on. To this day, I don't know why he thought it was comfortable, but that's what he ended up with. You know what I mean? Seen a group of guys. Oh, it's just, I seen a couple comments come up and I was reading it there. So Nomad again, I still have to find wood because my bus has a wood stove. You know what? Any kind of off the grid vehicle. I'm a firm believer. If you can figure out how to get a wood stove in it, it's not a bad thing. Cause one, it relies on no outside source to produce the heat. So you don't have to worry about power. You don't have to worry about oil. You can pretty much always find something to burn. It may not be what you want to burn, but you can generally always find something to burn. Oh, Nomad, I was in Kenya and over there you would be shocked with what they build, with old tires and rebar. And it's not just over there. I've seen some interesting things here in North America where they started doing stuff like this. Do you know what I'm talking about, Ben? It looks like you were just about to say it.
No, we had a lot of thoughts of what we would do with tires and rebar. I could just see how it would work. But honestly, yeah, whatever, like I said before, whatever you have excess of can be used as a building material. I mean, when the Vikings found, you know, the northern part of Newfoundland, and they built those Viking sod huts, and which they had done, I think, in Iceland too. That was what they had. They had sod. You built a house out of sod. You have whatever. Yeah. That. Have you seen earthships? What they call earthships.
What do you mean?
It's somewhat popular down in the States. It's building something that's like completely self-sufficient out of this type of product. So people are using recycled materials, and a common one is to fill tires with dirt and pile them up to make the wall and then cover that in a layer of dirt. You can grow something on it, but that creates the physical structure. And that structure, especially if you're growing greenery on it, stays pretty cold in the summer and retains a lot of heat in the winter on the other side. And then they filter water through a lot of the system, and they have systems that are almost completely self-contained, like almost like a biodome without the dome. You know what I mean? Like,
and this is kind of getting into what I was thinking off with the tires and rebar. I'd seen them used to make greenhouses. They would, once again, they would build the walls out of the tires, fill them in with dirt. I assume the rebar, they stake them down, and then they kind of put the dome over that, and then they pitch the ground from sides on, you know, either slope. So the top of the greenhouse out of the dirt is only maybe 2 feet, and the rest is all underneath, underground. Just the way, you know, they build the mound up and whatever. And these things are staying decent through the winter. So a lot of these folks, maybe they dig them down a little. I'm not going to pretend that I know 100% how this works, but perhaps they're digging them down. But anyway, they're growing stuff year round in these things in the northern part of the states. And it's real interesting. And I've always wanted to try it. And I'm worried that maybe it's just a little too cold here for it. Because we can get down to like, you know, minus 40 sometimes. And at the absolute coldest here. And I think I've seen these maybe in Maryland and stuff like that, where you're only getting down to maybe minus 10, 15. So I don't know if that plays into it. It was something that I looked up. It's something I've always wanted to try. But it's finding the tires and then finding somewhere where you can basically put that many tires without anyone getting mad at you. You know what I mean? Because nobody really wants 150 tires on their property.
I don't know.
I mean, this was that property that I was trying to work on reclaiming. That was the original plan for it, was to make some sort of growing plot where I could basically grow food all year round.
We had at our cabin, we have a couple of retaining walls, and that's literally what I wanted to use tires for. And I was wondering, how can I get a ton of tires dirt cheap? And the reality is, there are people who will pay you to take tires away.
I was going to say, go to any tire shop and just say that you'll take the garbage tires. Most of them will just laugh and let you go because they already got paid a disposal fee on them. They're waiting for somebody to come pick them up to pay them to get rid of them. So they're just like, yeah, fill your boots. You know what I mean? Because I have done that. I have gotten a few tires for other projects, usually between boats and stuff like that, to use as, like, you know, bumpers and things like that. And all you do is literally stop in and just be like, hey, can I have 6 tires? And they just take, go pick some out of the pile. Have at it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're no good to put back on cars or anything, and disposals is an issue. Really, there's no good recycling system set up for that yet.
No, the only thing I've seen for them is sometimes they turn them into AstroTurf, but it has to be a specific type of tire. It can't have metal belts in it. There's a lot to it, and I think it causes a ton of pollution to do it, maybe. Once again, not an expert, not pretending to be, but... But yeah, anyway, that... Like I said, tonight, that's really all I want to touch on. It was a funny story. I was hoping people out there might have a few laughs about it. Get people thinking. And just to ask that question in general, were we camping? I mean, aside from being hellions, were we camping or were we doing something else? I'd be curious to see what you folks think about this. We had a ton of fun and we learned a lot of stuff by doing it. Like, we learned how to build real primitive shelters, because then as we got older and we decided to go camping and stuff like that, we knew the basics of how to make something strong. You know what I mean? The materials became irrelevant. We knew the basics of what we needed to build something that was strong, something that wouldn't fall on you in the middle of the night or wouldn't blow over in the wind. You knew, you know, if you put two pieces of whatever together to make a triangle, it's going to be way better than just one piece sitting straight upright. You know what I mean? Just little things like that, that I think it helped us a lot, in our modern day design and things like that. Like, when I go to build a shelter now, I still rely on a lot of the things that I learned from that time. And by that time, I mean my teenage years when I was probably doing things I shouldn't have.
I think, yeah, we make skills with these things. But you ask, like, the question you asked earlier, and I think this is the thing. What is bushcrafting and what is camping even? And if you can think that taking a $100,000 plus class 5 RV out to a private campground with water, sewer, electricity, internet, name it, if that's camping, then anything less than that is also camping.
And maybe so, like, we always considered it camping.
But it's definitely a type of camping. There's no doubt about it. And those are skills that we possess, we gain, we work with from there, right?
No, 100%. But yeah, that's basically all I had tonight, Ben. Like I said, it was just a quick topic. I know that you have busy stuff going on after the show, and I basically flew in off the cuff. It's getting around that time, Christmas concerts and family stuff and things going on. So Unless you had more you wanted to add in on this topic, that's, like I said, that's pretty much all I had for tonight.
No, I'm good. No, we can end it up there.
Matt Wosley, I agree with Ben. Many forms of camping. The little heart thing there on our chat comes up right in the way of the last word of every sentence. I gotta figure out how to move that, but I'm just not good enough with it. But anyway, yeah, that's it for me tonight, folks. And I think that was it for Ben. Yes, quick show tonight. Potentially, what's today's date? Today's 13th, 20th. Might be a quick show next week, too. Don't know. Depends on what's going on. I think I'm okay. I may be traveling in from work. But other than that, I'm good, Ben. What about you?
Yeah, no, next week I should be fine.
Cool. So then the plan is we are going to have another show next week on the 20th. And as far as I know, we're still planning to have one on the 27th as well. Yes, 27th. You and I will talk about that later. It's 28th, 29th. I may be disappearing going on an adventure. So.
Ooh, can I come?
I mean, if you want to. By all means, man, there's going to be four bunks where I'm going.
Oh. Do I know?
This Nomad, this is one of the talk. And you know what, Nomad? Don't feel bad. The digital campfire is going to happen. There's Ben, I, you, and two other people at this point. So I think that's enough to start this thing. So I'm going to start sending out emails on this. The first one is obviously on the Mandela Effect. And yes, I did get the last video you sent me there, Ben. And that's going to be used in the digital campfire, I think. I'm starting to stockpile some of the stuff. We've been talking about it so long, we're just going to do it. So,
man, we'll get a date together. New ones on that. So,
what was that? Sorry,
I keep coming across new Mandela effects that people are talking about.
Oh, I know, man. It's. I don't want to spoil it. I want to leave it for the digital campfire. But I've been.
Was the last one I sent you the Fruit of the Loom one?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
On the patent, yeah, and the theory about the Hadron Collider and stuff like that we talked about. I think it's going to be great. To dive into this. And yes, folks, anybody wondering about the digital campfire that may be listening to this, it's going to be just a couple of folks gathered around, basically like you're around a campfire, and we're just going to pick a topic and hammer it out. It's going to be a bunch of bushcrafters, different backgrounds, things like that, different locations. It's going to be less family friendly. I'm probably going to put that one as potentially explicit language, all that stuff. So we will put a rating warning and stuff on there. But I think that'll be a little bit more raw. It'll just be us. We'll yak it out. Hopefully some laughs to be had. And we'll try one, see what people think, and we'll go from there. Your thoughts about the same, Ben?
Same.
Bob Billy. Sorry, guys. I tuned in late to this one. I'll catch you next week. No worries there, Bob. It was just kind of a quickie tonight anyway. Be sure to jump in next week. We are definitely going to be here. So anyway, have a good night, everybody. As always, get out there, get dirty, play safe, save your stories for us, and come on back and chat so we can spread the word and hopefully learn from each other. Night, everybody. Have fun.